It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. Well, you know, this is the season, buying a lot of holiday toys, and toy safety is good. As, you know, my parents used to say, it's all well and fun until somebody puts an eye out. So my next guest and expert, Dr. Charles Nozicka, is the Medical Director of Pediatric Emergency Medicine and advocate at the Condell Medical Center in Libertyville, Illinois. So welcome, Dr. Nozicka. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Lee. My pleasure.
So, it is true about toys, and this is the season that we're always talking about toy safety. But, you know, every year you hear about kids being seriously injured, sometimes even fatally, related to toys. So what, first of all, is there a certain category of toy that tends to be more dangerous, do you think?
Well, there are several categories that parents should look out for. And it all depends on the age of their kids, of course. But the major categories are the toys toxic? Are they painted with a lead-based paint, which kind of gives you a chronic poisoning or problem with that?
Well, in the United States, isn't that illegal? I mean, how can you really tell? Now, I know we do get a lot of toys from China, not to point fingers, and I know there was an issue, everybody, you know, you heard about crayons and such, but how can parents, you know, how do you really tell what's painted on the toy? I mean, one year I think a huge toy, Thomas the Tank Engine, right, which was it's a huge seller, a well-known brand, it turned out some of the paint did have lead in it, but how can parents do that, protect themselves from that? How can you normally tell?
Well, there's several things that they can do. First of all, they can shop at a major retailer. For the most part, those toys are screened, as long as they don't buy them like on the internet, or they don't buy them at kind of a secondhand shop.
Right.
Another thing that they can do is they can go on, there's certain websites that actually track dangerous toys or toys that should be avoided. One is the Public Interest Research Group, PIRG. There's one usually in each state, and there's definitely a website, the United States Public Interest Research Group. But they can go on, and they will list the toys that are out there that they don't recommend, and they'll give reasons why.
Okay.
There's other issues, too, though, with toys. Choking hazard is one thing, too. That's a big problem. If the toy is too small, it can get into the child's mouth and they chew on everything. And you're aware of this with little toddlers or infants that are just toddling around, but you really may not be aware of this for the 3 or the 4-year-olds, too, that sometimes these things in their mouth. And a good rule of thumb for toys are they should not have small pieces that won't fit through a toilet paper roll.
So
if the piece gets stuck in the toilet paper roll, then it should be safe and not a choking hazard. If it rolls through the toilet paper roll, then it potentially could be a choking hazard.
And you say to all the way up to maybe 3, 4, even 5-year-olds, you would use that rule for toys?
I would. Kids do funny things, and most 4 and 5-year-olds can be taught and usually don't put everything in their mouths. But kids put a lot of different things in their mouths just to explore, even at that age. We see foreign bodies all the time in the emergency department where kids 4, 5, 6 even put things in their mouth and then they gag or choke on it and it goes down and gets hopefully just stuck in the esophagus or goes through to the stomach. But kids preschool age often will choke on things, so it's a good rule of thumb even for the preschoolers.
Okay. What other types of toys what other things can parents look for in a toy that might be dangerous for kids?
another thing that might be an issue for them are these little toys with small magnets.
Oh, yeah.
The magnets by themselves can be a choking hazard, of course, for smaller kids. But even bigger kids that end up swallowing magnets, if they swallow several magnets, the magnets actually can attract each other through the intestine and cause an area of pressure necrosis and intestinal perforation. So the American Academy of Pediatrics and many consumer advocate groups recommend that children not play with these magnetic toys. Some of the toys are called Buckyball or Sizzlers, and mm-hmm. they're toys that they can make shapes and design things with these magnets, but the magnets always end up sometimes in the mouth of a child. The other issue, too, with the magnet is sometimes the older kids playing with the magnets leave the magnets out, or they drop a magnet, and there's a smaller sibling that's crawling or toddling that finds the small little shiny object, and of course that small shiny object goes in the mouth.
Yeah, that's, people don't think of that. It's, it, you know, when you have children of different ages and there are age-appropriate toys, you have to make sure that your older children, you know, pay attention to that and know how to keep it out of the hands of their little siblings. Although I'm sure they're always trying to do that anyway, but still pieces can get left behind.
Yeah, they get left behind or they just get thrown around. And, you know, families with several kids, those are busy families, and sometimes it's hard to keep an eye on all the kids and to think of those things. You're correct.
Now, what about riding toys? I know that there's always some issue every year. Kids get different kind of riding toys, the scooters and things like that, and the potential for injury there is pretty great. That's probably like any riding thing, bicycle or anything.
Yeah, they are. Most of the scooters are for, you know, children 2 to 4 years of age, you know, pre-bicycle kind of a toy. But they can fall off, they can hit their heads, they can hit objects that they're scooting around, furniture, corners of furniture. So you have to make sure that everything is safe around where the scooter's going to be used. The other issue, too, is stairwells. People just tend to forget sometimes, or again, there's that older sibling that opened the basement door and left the door open, and the little preschooler is scooting around on his toy, goes over the ledge and down the stairs.
Yeah, that sounds tragic. And then extra equipment with any kind of riding toy, I imagine, is important. Helmets, padding, shins, elbows, those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely, especially the helmet aspect, because even a fall from 18 inches or so onto a hard surface can cause a significant head injury. So helmets are a good idea, especially when they're outside also. There's a lot of hard surfaces outside. Or sometimes the scoop toy, you're not aware of an incline in the driveway or on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden the little one takes off and really isn't in control anymore and can certainly fall off and have a head injury, much like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so even those little scoot toys that you're especially, right, that you're going to take outside, I mean, you see little kids in the house carpeted, you know, and you wonder how small you can get a helmet, but that's probably an issue. Isn't it?
It is. It really is. It can be an issue because they can hit something else. And sometimes even a carpeted floor is not as safe as people think. They assume that it's safer, but really there's a hard surface underneath it. The child hits it at a poor angle, or they hit a piece of hard furniture that's in the home that nobody expected them to hit, and then they have a head injury with that.
Yeah. So all very good information. I want to thank my guest. You can also check the Consumer Product Safety Commission website to look for toys that may have been recalled or any problems or issues. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lieben Ocher on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.